first guest on today's Big Blend Radio Toast to the Arts and Parks show is Lorenzo Vigil. He is the park superintendent at Fort Union National Monument, which is up in northern New Mexico. And I'm very excited to have Lorenzo back on the show. He's normally on talking about arts and on with a show that's with an artist from the National Parks Arts Foundation residency. But today we're going to really focus on the history of this fort because it had different stages. It's also part of the Santa Fe Trail. It was a very important place in regards to history of the Southwest, which ultimately connects to the rest of the country. I encourage you to go to the website. It's nps.gov/FOUN. So welcome back, Lorenzo. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. The weather is perfect here in northern New Mexico, so I'm looking forward to today's conversation.
Yeah, cool. It is good to have you back on the show, and we're so excited that we finally got to you. We always promised we'll make it, and we did. It just it took a while, but we got there. And it was wonderful to meet you and then also explore the fort. The fort is, like, in a cool location. I mean, you got to think about when they first decided to build a fort there. And it's had many roles in the history, just throughout the years. But when they first decided, okay, we're going to build a fort here, do you think they did it because it was also like, hey, this is a cool spot. It's pretty out here. Let's land here.
That might not have been part of the consideration of sitting at the fort. Believe it or not, the location that the Fort Union is on was picked more because the location was, within a mile or two of the infamous, March West during the Mexican-American War. And this is where that army of the West, in a sense of the push for westward expansion, camped. And in this area are a set of pools of water along Wolf Creek. And there's plenty of grass out here. So when the idea to establish Fort Union started up, The location was picked for that reason. There was a place where there was plenty of water and grass for the horses, belonging to the army at the time. So, and then, at the time they also considered it to be closer to the problems that the military was having, dealing with Native Americans at that time. So they wanted to be closer to the issues that they felt they had.
It's interesting. So it was built, in 1851? But it really kept going, for 50 years or something? It kept going. So when we first did the whole walk around. And there's a shorter version, but I encourage people, do the whole thing because you get the whole, this whole understanding. But it kind of had different stages of the fort. This was like the beginning and then the middle. It's interesting to see it change over the years as you walk around.
Yeah, well, and I think a big component of that was just what the West was undergoing. One of the things that we say about Fort Union was, it was set up, it was a federal presence out here in the West. That's mm-hmm. what it established, whether it was desired or not. And that's kind of like this innocuous comment of why desired or not. Well, desired because that's what, the new Americans and Americans settling in the West wanted, this federal presence. But then on the other side of the desired or not was, the military's policy and the government's policy against Native Americans. So a place like Fort Union is so, I like to say there's the good and the bad of a place like Fort Union, because you have families and folks that came West through the military. And after their military time was over, they settled in the area. So for them, places like Fort Union is a good place. But for the folks that were on the other side of what the policy of the fort was, it's a pretty dark place. It has a dark mm-hmm. history also. So that's something that we deal with, and it's something that we want to make sure that people understand, a place like Fort Union had multiple roles. First off, establishing that federal presence right after the Mexican-American War, and then later on, serving as a presence for the Civil War. And then at its tail end of its history, I just felt that the history just got darker and darker because it began to serve as a way station for children being pulled out of reservations. It was a holding station for kids on their way to all of these boarding schools. You know, it was kind of like a changing of culture. And, you know, at that point, you know, the day we did was forced. And, you know, back in the day, they said, oh, we're just helping them. So, you know, it had multiple stories enrolled here at Fort Union.
And it's kind of similar.
Sorry, go ahead, Nancy.
I was going to say it's kind of similar to when the British colonized Africa and they decided all Africans have to have their hair cut and take off any of their paint, facial markings, and go to school and be Christian. It's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. And you know, but that's the thing, you know, we want to make sure that we touch on all those stories. Some of them are fairly controversial, and we just don't want to short those important stories because then we're not doing our job as a national park. So you know, we take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
You know, of course, we had African Americans here, slaves also. And then also we were one of the first posts in the West that had Buffalo soldiers. You know, we do know we had seven, you know, folks that won, you know, about Buffalo soldiers that won medals of honor. So, you know, a place like this, you know, was fairly strategic for multiple things that happened in the West. One of the things that we do talk about with visitors when they come through and they begin to kind of wonder, like what you asked, you know, why is it out here? But the deal is at the time, you know, it was a literally like a small city. And so this was a happening place, but, you know, we always say Fort Union had its fingers in everything that ever happened in the West. They were part of the strategy and making decisions for other forts far away from New Mexico, you know, at the time. You know, New Mexico territory was huge, and the decisions made at Fort Union impacted the entire Southwest. And whether it was, you know, direct impact or indirect, they were involved in everything.
Wow. Even design-wise, Nancy and I have been through some forts. In Yuma, there's Fort Yuma, which is actually on the Cushans reservation. And if you go, /California, everybody's kind of touching each other there over the Colorado River, the lower river. And so you don't really see the remnants as much. But when we were in southeast Arizona, the fort out there, that was, you can kind of see the same adobe style. And then Fort Bowie, Fort Bowie, however you want to say it. And then when you go up, like we went to Fort Churchill in Nevada, and they kind of seem, it's like the same kind of design with the adobe. And I know they try to do some restoration, but they can't go all the way with it. But it was all that time frame. So adobe was a really big part. And it was interesting being at the fort with you, or seeing it looks like you don't want to recreate it, right? But you're trying to keep it so it doesn't fall down, some of the ruins.
Yeah, and that's a big task, you know, that preservation of the ruins of what's left over of the fort. You know, we do a really good job of maintaining, you know, those remnants. We do have a program where, you know, we come through and try to put a shelter coat over the original adobe. And then we cap the top of the walls with sacrificial adobes so that we can have the, you know, the majority of the fort still continuing to stand. You know, it's a very difficult process. And the reason for that is, you know, the adobe is dirt, you know, literally.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time it rains or snows, it does have an impact. So in a sense, we're kind of fighting this losing battle, but, you know, we're keeping up with it right now, and we're really pleased. And a lot of these techniques for preservation for adobe come from Fort Union or you know, Park Service locations that do have adobes. For us, you know, when the fort was first constructed, it's one of three forts built right here. So, you know, the first construction of the first Fort Union from 1851 to 1861, it was built entirely out of wood, you know, logs. And the logs were never debarked. And so the buildings rotted away pretty quickly.
Wow.
Lots of bugs, and people didn't want to live in them. Then we know in the 1860s, early 1860s, you had the Civil War, and Fort Union was a target. So the first fort was abandoned, and they built a second Fort Union. And the second Fort Union is a big earthwork. It kind of looks like a big star, if you're flying above. It's one of those Napoleonic War design forts, where each point has demi-lunes, and they're trying to direct you to be in between the points of each star so that you're caught in a crossfire. It never saw battle because we know that down in just north of Santa Fe near Pecos, New Mexico, the Battle of Glorieta happened there. So the Confederate troops never made it to Fort Union. So that second Fort Union was fairly quickly abandoned, and then the third fort was built. And at that time, they decided to build it out of adobes. And the reason being is there was really no other, building material around. So the soil had the natural amount of, silt and sand and clay to make proper adobes. And, it is the largest adobe structure in North America, in terms of the amount of adobe remnants that's still left out there. So, it was built and it served its purpose, and it was abandoned, we know, in 1891. But the reason why the fort fell apart so fast, in a sense, is because it was raided for its building materials. Local people would come down and take the windows out. And once you pull the roof off of a structure, it's going to fall apart really fast. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what happened to Fort Union. Like, the roofs were pulled off, and of course, then they exposed the adobe fairly quickly, and disappeared with every rainstorm.
Yeah.
Wow. And in keeping it up, you've got to think what life was like there, because it gets windy in the Southwest. I don't care if it's Arizona, the desert of California, New Mexico, Texas. When the winds start, the winds decide, I'm going, and we're going full force. So that had to be something, too, just to be living out there in those conditions. You're living in mud, and yet at the same time, hey, let's put officers' uniforms on, And women wearing those like heavy clothes, and it just is so interesting to go to places like that, because it's like a little city, and that's what Nancy and I were like. This is like being in a town, basically, because you have a hospital, you have the laundry room, the laundrette, you have all these, you have the jail, which is tiny. But you had all these different areas. And you also had I wanted to ask actually earlier when we were there, when you go to the very end before you, when you walk the one side and you go on the left, right, when you do the full tour around, and then you go, don't ask me directions, I need to go to a compass, but you take a right and you're going on the perimeter of the fort. There's like a sunken area in a circle. Was that a well that they had there?
Mm-hmm. No, those sunken areas are all cisterns. Fort Union had a very viable and working firefighting system, and the cisterns would store water for the firefighting. There were plenty of wells here at Fort Union. We counted, I think, something like 16 wells.
Wow.
The water is pretty close to the surface, so, they're digging down probably 60, 70 feet and hitting water, so there was plenty of water. Fort Union is pretty unique when you come out here. Those walls were whitewashed inside and out, so they were, it was really good looking, a white fort out in the middle of the plains. They used to haul ice down in the winter and store it underground, and in the summer you could have shaved ice, in a glass, the officers. So, it wasn't as terrible as it sounds. But Fort Union was known as Fort Windy, which I think the day you guys were here, it was windy.
Yes.
So, it doesn't ever go away. But the one thing about a fort like Fort Union, and you're right, because of the amount of horses and people that were around here, there was no grass. All it was dirt and dust.
Wow.
The wives and the laundresses and all, everybody hated it because it got in everywhere. So I don't think, it was a very comfortable to play just because it was so darn dusty.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing to think of, Just being back there, and you've got such a good interpretive trail as well. And what was neat is that you had all those crows out there and little swallows. So it's a good birding destination, actually, because you do have the grasslands, too. Is that something that the Park Service, you know, cares about, too? Because it's almost like the grasslands are disappearing like our wetlands across the country. So I really liked being out in your area because it was like being out on the prairie, and you don't really think that when you think New Mexico, but it was you have a prairie out there.
Yeah, you know, we're lucky. We're surrounded by you know, a 95,000 acre ranch. There's no you know, there's no buildings out there, so our cultural landscape is really clean. You know, the park is fenced in, so the only thing that's eating the grass in the fort are the antelope. You know, you see. So it's pretty undisturbed per se. You know, it's been that way since the 1940s. So, you know, we got a really first-rate short grass prairie here in the park. We do have plenty of critters. You know, a lot of folks really like the birding here. You know, we have the Audubon comes out here and does their bird count. The Stack does it too. And we have a, you know, a bird list available for folks that come to the visitor center. You know, so that when they're out there, they know what they're finding, and you know, they can identify them, and they come in and let us know what they found. And, you know, that's just a good relationship that we have with folks that come through, especially thinking about the birds.
Yeah, and then because we saw a lot, and we were like, this is cool. Nancy at one point just sat down, and she's just like, yeah, somebody called me because we were on our way to California or some, I don't know what we were doing. You know, we're on the way somewhere, we always are. And somebody called me, and I'm like, they're like, hey, can you talk real quick? I'm like, well, let me get behind this wall of the fort because of the wind. She's like, what do you mean you're in a fort? I'm like, I'm in, like, you wouldn't believe this fort. Let me take a photo and send it to you. This is cool. You need to come here. But it's an easy walk. It's, I don't know. You get the feelings of the past. And then when you see the wagon, it's interesting because you got to also think where you are, you know. You got, you know, you're near Wagon Mound, pretty close
yes.
to, yeah. So, I mean, does that connect it? Is that all part of the Santa Fe Trail, Wagon Mound? I know the Santa Fe Trail and the fort, you know, like there's signs there going, Santa Fe Trail's running right from here to here. And I'm like, no way, this is cool. This is like better, you know, you get those roadside stops, but this is like, this was right here. It's cool.
Yeah, and we work closely with Wagon Mound. Oh, gosh, I'm going to say a few months ago we had a gentleman, you know, Red Steagle come through, and he's part of the state parks in Texas. And they were doing a production on the Santa Fe Trail and Fort Union and Wagon Mound. And they did a short little video here and a short little video over at Wagon Mound. And they were going to put it on their Texas has a production that they kind of like PBS. And they put it together, and they were going to do a video on that for the citizens in Texas. But you know, this is the 200th anniversary of the Santa Fe Trail, and so we're doing a whole video series starting in a few weeks, you know, based on this 200th anniversary of the Santa Fe Trail, and it's called Tales of the Trail.
Cool.
And we're really excited about that video series.
Awesome.
Just to get more information out there about the Santa Fe Trail.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's pretty exciting. The fort has undergone a transformation of pretty much everything the visitor touches and sees and wants to learn about Fort Union. You know, we have a trail guide. We have all new trail signs, all new wayside exhibits. We're in the midst of getting an entirely new museum exhibit system put in place, and that'll be completed in the next year. So when, you know, if visitors haven't come by and they come by, you know, another year, they're going to be totally blown away by the complete change of what they see and touch. And we're just so excited about that.
This is so cool because the Santa Fe Trail, we've done quite a bit of it. Quite a bit, actually. Even if you take old Highway 50 across the country, you hit a lot of the Santa Fe Trail. We've done it in Santa Fe, obviously, with you. We slept on the Santa Fe Trail under the full moon. Does that count,
Lorenzo?
Yeah, that
was cool.
In Kansas, we had to stop and close our eyes, and we stopped at the, and it was outside Dodge City, And we just, you know, we're driving long distance. We had to stop for a couple hours. I'm like, let's sleep under the full moon on the Santa Fe Trail. Let's get better than that. Let's do that. So we did. But Nancy, we need to make a map.
I know.
We need to make a new map. I know. Mm-hmm. This is dangerous when people like you come on our shows because we create more work. Now we're going to do a map of all the places we've been to on the trail. I think that's so important because I think that's something we forget about the National Park Service. We know the national parks, there's national monuments, historical parks, but we forget about all the, you know, the scenic rivers, the scenic byways, but the historic trails to me are so fascinating, and they seem to kind of run into each other a bit, because I think, weren't they all at the very beginning, even the Santa Fe Trail, weren't they all, I know there were the Royal Roads from Mexico and up, but wasn't also the indigenous peoples, the Native Americans who were using, you know, these trails before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're 100% correct. You know, the Santa Fe Trail just didn't start all of a sudden because William McNeil came west. You know, it was already a trading route that had already been established. So, you know, there was no invention. It's just how, Americans and us, when we're looking at establishment of some of these themes, you know, we want to tie it with something we know or that feels good. And so, you know, the Santa Fe National Historic Trail is a component of that. You know, in Santa Fe, the Park Service has the main office for all of these national trails, you know, from the Oregon Trail and those things. So, you know, it's pretty darn exciting.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder, back in the day when people were traveling on the trail, if, you know, like when you go down Route 66, there's all those Burma Shave signs. And there's a whole lot of funny signs to look at. Can you imagine, like, if you're going down the Santa Fe Trail and you're walking next to a covered wagon, and then there's this sign saying, get your shaved ice here, only 5 miles.
At Fort Union. You can go to Fort Union in summer for your shaved ice.
Yeah.
Well, only a few people were eating the shaved ice.
Yeah, the generals, right? You had to be up there.
Well, the officers, for sure.
Officers,
yeah.
Wow.
Wow. But it's interesting. Now, one of the photos, I remember standing and reading about this, they kept, like, the alcohol and ammunition away from the actual main part of the fort, right? Because they were scared that somebody would go, let's go and have a drink and play with the ammunition or something, right? At the beginning, when you start, the very beginning, the oldest part of the fort, they have this, like, way back here, they kept the ammunition away from the actual fort. Was it because the people would have, like, oh, let's have some, you know, whiskey and go play with our guns? Or was it really just in case something happened that it was in a safer place?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, places like Fort Union are just, you know, and I'll probably go a little off of your question, a little bit of a different tangent. You know, places like this, they're just so different.
Mm-hmm.
And they impact so much. You know, when Fort Union was being established, you know, there was a big push for that to happen. And you know, a place like this, it provides security. But, you know, who's on the other side of the security, per se? You know, who do we fear? And so, you know, I guess that's a component of it.
It is about who do we fear, and what could happen, the what ifs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it's interesting, yeah, Fort Churchill too. That nothing ever happened there, but it was like this important spot for the Pony Express Trail, you know. So it's this, all these things happen, and are part of, you know, it's part of military history for sure, especially with this being such a hub. But I, for folks traveling through New Mexico, what's really cool is you're by Pecos, which we need to get to. We didn't manage to. We had to come say hi to you. we didn't get to Pecos. But I feel like we should probably do both on the same visit to get a full picture if we do both parks.
Yes. Yeah, and part of it, you know, we're connected through the Santa Fe Trail, and we're connected through the Civil War. More than anything else, us and Pecos. So, those are the connections that we have.
Oh, yeah, the Civil War, too. Yeah.
That just seems so odd. You just don't think Civil War in the West.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got the Civil War site here in terms of the second fort. You know, it's in about 60 acres. And then, of course, you know, the battle was down at Pecos with troops from Fort Union. So there's that tie, you know. And then, you know, the Santa Fe National Historic Trail goes from, you know, through Fort Union on its way to Santa Fe. And, of course, right where Pecos is, National Historical Park is, you know, there's the pass that all the wagons had to funnel through. So, you know, when you're at Pecos, the trail goes right through the middle of the park.
But that's what blows my mind about it. It's like, you know, you see where it went through, and what I was trying to envision, what was it like, were people riding, you know, right through? Were they bringing their wagons through the fort? You know, I was just, is my timing off here? Because the trail was before the fort, right? I'm totally way off. I'm off. See, this is why you do need to know your dates in history, because you don't want to be like Lisa. Because I just like, it all happened here, but not all at the same time. So it was the trail before the fort. So, because I was thinking you couldn't just, you know, show up with your wagon and say, hey, I want to set up camp at the fort. You couldn't just do that unless you were going to do laundry, right?
And that didn't happen. For only military traffic that the fort was doing or working with came through Fort Union. All non-military traffic did not come through Fort Union.
Okay. See, that's how it, yeah. You had to, because this was an act of force. And so it's like now, today's time, it's a military base, you know? That's really what it was. I mean, if we look at going on it, like Camp Pendleton in Oceanside, California, we've been on there, Nancy. You have your, you know, the housing, and or 29 Palms outside Joshua Tree National Park. We used to live there. So you have your base. I mean, they had the commissary. They have, you know, schooling going on. I mean, it's like a whole city. It really is. And, I mean, you can see the city. When you drive through Joshua Tree Park at night towards 29 Palms off of the interstate, go towards it, you'll start to see these lights. And you think it's the city of 29 Palms, and it isn't. It is the military base, and it's huge. So it's kind of the same thing. We've just really gotten modern with it, right?
Yeah, you know, contrary to kind of the Westerns and stuff, people didn't really get invited to be in a fort. It was for the military. It was not for civilians. So, you know, if you're traveling down a trail and you stop by a fort, most of the time you weren't allowed inside of the fort. It was for the military. And, you know, that's kind of the way it is today. I mean, you know, even with security being today, you know, nobody can just get on a fort, military base, just because they want to. Again, it has its own security, and they're not going to let you get on.
Right. That's interesting about that, too. So when people go to New Mexico, in your area, northern New Mexico, you've got Santa Fe, of course, which is also part of the trail, Pecos. The one thing we saw was, like, even being in Albuquerque, you guys have a lot of parks, National Park Service units in New Mexico. You could spend a month going to all of them. Isn't like 15 all within a day's drive?
Yep, there's 15. Yeah, there's 15 national parks in New Mexico.
Wow, and you can do it like in one trip. And you've got Route 66 that goes through there. Isn't Route 66 also part of the Park Service too? Because it's a historic highway.
I think they were trying to get it a national designation, so it may.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know if it ever happened. I can't remember. I have to look it up now because we did a lot of that too. But it's real close, and so for people staying there, we're not allowed to go camping in the fort, apparently.
No, we don't. Like, here at Fort Union, we don't have any camping. And back in the day, you had to camp 5 miles away.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Hmm. So, but now you've got the places to stay really would be in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Las Vegas. There's campgrounds in Las Vegas. There's a bunch of small state parks around, you know, that are great. You know, there's a few lakes and Coyote Creek, and, you know, so there's places to go and camp. And then some of the other national sites around us have camping too.
Okay. And hotels downtown too, like Las Vegas has got
a
beautiful, the historic downtown, and that connects all back to the Harvey House too, like the Harvey House history. The Harvey girls and I mean, that's a whole other deal too. So there's like that means railroad history. You got a lot going on in your area. You really do when it comes to history.
Oh yeah, there's lots to do in New Mexico. New Mexico is just such a national treasure, and you know we always encourage folks to come out west, enjoy yourself. Big,
mm-hmm.
great, big blue skies, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you know, not a whole lot of people, and it's pretty darn safe. I think you know, even talking about safety on the news this morning, close to 50% of folks from New Mexico have already been vaccinated. So, you know, on the COVID side, it's a pretty darn safe place to come and visit right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, open space. Like you're saying, the blue skies. Remember when we saw you, we were still in that, oh, my gosh, we've missed the West. You know, we haven't been home for a while. So we were still in that, like, whoa, you know. But, like you were saying, we had to wear a mask, and so everyone's still wearing a mask going in, right, in through the fort?
Yeah, and, you know, that's just policy from the federal government at this point.
Okay.
You know, where they want to keep people safe. And, you know, we're still following basic CDC guidelines, you know, stay safe. You know, the social distancing is the biggest thing, and wearing a face mask in a building. And, you know, just keeping the numbers down, you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
really good for us. But, you know, when you're outside and there's nobody around you,
yeah.
it's pretty darn safe.
Yeah, we need fresh air. Human beings need it, and sunshine. It'll keep your immune system happy. The other thing too, when we were there, we didn't go into the visitor center, and a lot of visitor centers, whether it's a national wildlife refuge, a state park, a national park, a lot of them are closed right now because of the whole COVID guidelines. But you said that you're actually getting a new visitor center coming up this year. You've got a busy year ahead.
Yeah, and you know, it's just, geez, it's gonna this summer. Right, we're you know, the whole state is just expecting to have huge numbers of folks coming through.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you gonna? When does the building for the new visitors? It's like, is it the interior of the visitor center that's getting redone with new exhibits,
yes.
or an actual new building?
Well, no, not a new building. They're just gonna rehab the interior.
Mm. Okay. And then that'll be cool. So, well, do you think that will be done this year?
Yes, it's getting done this summer.
Cool, people.
How much fun is that?
This is exciting. I know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
I know. Well, thank you so much, Lorenzo. I know there's so much history, and we have to have you back on the show, also your chief of interpretation at some point, because I know we do a lot of shows, specific themes like Buffalo Soldiers and the Santa Fe Trail. Now
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to do something special. I didn't know it was the 200th year. You know, we're going to have to do something now. So
mm-hmm.
We'll put our map together and give you a call. We'll have to do a special show.
Well, not
just
a
on
problem.
The trail. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks again, everyone. You can go to nps.gov/FOUN for Fort Union National Monument, again, in northern New Mexico. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to enjoy nature. Not only this birding, man, there's pronghorn, and we did not get to see elk, so we'll have to come back again because we want to see your elk.
All righty.
And
people should go out there and paint pictures of it.
I know.
Cool.
I know. That's it. It's beautiful out there. So
mm-hmm.
go check it out. We're going to close with a song called Prayer for the Past. And in a few minutes, we'll talk to Tanya Ortega from the National Parks Arts Foundation. So thanks so much, Lorenzo. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And you have a great weekend.
You too.
You take care. Enjoy the fort.
Yeah.
All right. Here it is. This is Prayer for the Past by Evan Ozan. You can keep up with him at ozanmusic.com.